You are Locked On Colts, your daily Indianapolis Colts podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into your latest episode of Locked On Colts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today's always your host, Evan Sidery, joined by Stephen Reed of Stampede Blue. We're here to recap the final roster cutdowns for the Indianapolis Colts today. They cut their roster down to 53. There will be some more changes throughout the week here, I imagine, leading up to the Seahawks season opener here in just under 2 weeks. But we're going to hit on starting off the show, Stephen. It's obviously a hot topic right now. And it definitely with Zach Kiefer's latest report on the 1% Better podcast with Stephen Holder, I think it's fair we start talking about it because we've been avoiding it throughout this whole offseason. But now since it's really started to impact the team, we saw Carson Wentz, Ryan Kelly, Zach Pascal in the protocols. Quentin Nelson was recently in there. Eric Fisher is still in protocol. There's a lot of starters right in COVID-19 protocols, contact tracing, a lot of players as well who are unvaccinated. According to Zach Kiefer on the 1% Better podcast, reportedly half of the offensive starters are unvaccinated. We still do know a couple players on defense as well are unvaccinated. So, Steven, what's your thoughts on this situation? Because I read a story today about the Los Angeles Rams where 52 of the 53 players on their roster are vaccinated. So a lot of teams are getting ahead of the Colts. The Colts now, according to Kiefer, are one of, if not the lowest team in terms of vaccination rate in the NFL. What's your thoughts on this whole situation? Because Frank Reich spoke about it today. He said players have their own decisions. They can do what they do. We're going to keep our head down and get through this. But I can only imagine, Stephen, if Wentz gets in COVID protocols or if Leonard or Nelson or all these guys get into COVID protocols around the same time in the middle of the season, this is a situation where legitimately, Stephen, unfortunately, it could cost the Colts multiple games in the regular season, and it shouldn't be at that point.
Yeah, so, hey, Evan, so we're going to start it off like this. This is great. My thoughts are it's tough. You can't force a guy to get vaccinated against his will unless they put in a mandate for the vaccine. I don't know if that's necessarily right now. I am frustrated as a fan because I feel like the players have a responsibility to their teammates, and guys that are unvaccinated are putting their availability at risk. And the trouble is, and this goes with the NFL rules right now, the trouble that I have is that close contacts, even when you're testing negative for it, it's really difficult because if you're a vaccinated player around somebody that tests positive, all you have to do is have two consecutive negative tests within 24-hour period, or 24 hours apart, not within a 24-hour, but 24 hours apart. But if you're unvaccinated, you're mandatory knocked out 5 days. So it's really tough because, for me, I think that the players themselves are putting themselves at risk, the unvaccinated players are putting themselves at risk to miss games because of the NFL rules that are in place. Now, do I like those rules that are in place? No, I don't. I think that they are maybe a little bit too much, but they're the rules. And they're the rules, and if they don't want to comply with the rules, they have to face the consequences for their decisions. And unfortunately, the consequence for their decision is that they are likely going to be unavailable for the games. Because once you miss 5 days, if you're a close contact and this happens on a Wednesday, you're out the next week. No matter what, even if you test negative every single day, and throughout that process, you have to test negative every single day. So you get those tests every day. It sucks for those players because I do think that they should have a say in it. And I do think that it should be their choice to a point, but at the same time, these are the rules that are in place. And if you're not against it, like for a religious reason or for a medical reason that your doctors say you shouldn't get the vaccine, then I don't understand the rationale as to why you wouldn't get it when your job is to be available. And these guys are putting that at risk. I can imagine that the locker room probably looks at this a lot differently than the way that we as fans or the media looks at it, because the locker room, like I imagine Carson Wentz is beloved. We know Quentin Nelson is beloved in the locker room. We know Darius Leonard is beloved in the locker room. All these guys are, it's not going to change how the locker room views them unless something happens. And they were able to get through almost all of last season without having a major issue. The one hiccup was, unfortunately, against the Tennessee Titans here in Indianapolis at Lucas Oil Stadium, where they basically lost the division because of that game. And the Colts, if they were fully healthy, I don't think the Titans win that game. And it's honestly that simple. But unfortunately, they weren't healthy because they had several players, DeForest Buckner, DeNico Autry, and Jonathan Taylor, I believe, all were out because of either COVID or close contacts. And so they're really putting these players' decisions not to be vaccinated when it's not for a religious reason or for a medical issue or a medical concern, I think really is putting the team at risk. And so as a fan, I'm really frustrated, but I understand their desire to do something and really have that conviction for what they're choosing. And I don't think that Frank Reich's going to push them to do it. I'd imagine that Chris Ballard's pretty upset. I imagine that Jim Irsay is probably, wants these guys to, not necessarily upset, but wants them to get vaccinated because you want to remove the risk. You want to remove that chance because, like the hypothetical I mentioned earlier, if somebody that's a close contact tests positive on Wednesday, and you've been a close contact, you're deemed a close contact by the NFL, those guys are out the next week, that week's game, they're done. There's no chance for them to come back. However, if they are vaccinated, they can come back as early as Thursday, as late as Friday, if they have two negative tests at least 24 hours apart, and then they're playing in that game. And so that it's going to probably end up being a competitive disadvantage for the Colts long term, or at least throughout this season, which is disappointing because I think that the Colts have an opportunity with the roster. If they don't miss any games with large injuries or due to COVID, then I think they'd have a chance to compete in the AFC South. But if you have like literally your two top guys on offense in Carson Wentz and Quentin Nelson miss time because of COVID, or you have Darius Leonard is a guy that you have some other linebackers in there, you can't replace him because he's a special player. He's an all-pro linebacker. You can't replace him, but you're going to have an easier time trying to fill him in than what you would with, say, a Carson Wentz or especially a Quentin Nelson. Quentin Nelson changes that offensive line completely. My thoughts are, I respect the players' decisions to do it. I think that we as fans are fans in the media. We are probably making a big deal about this, probably more so than what they are in the locker room. But ultimately, it's these players' decisions, and they're making the conscious choice, the conscious risk to jeopardize their availability and potentially letting down their teammates into the season. And for me, if I were a player in that locker room, I would want to be vaccinated just so I didn't risk that unnecessarily. Again, if there's a religious reason or there's a medical reason for you not to get vaccinated, then I understand it. But outside of that, I just don't think the risk outweighs the whatever freedom or whatever choice that you have in there. To me, I wouldn't do that.
It's that time of year again, and all eyes now turn to football as teams are back on the gridiron to start the football season. As always, BetOnline's number one spot for the pro and college football action this season. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL Survivor contest open now at BetOnline. Head to the website or use your mobile device right now to sign up today and receive a 100% off welcome bonus. Be sure to take advantage of their opening day super promo. Make a bet on the Thursday, September 9th opener between the champion Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys, and if you lose, your wage will be refunded up to $25 for new customers only when signing up with BetOnline today using the promo code NFL100. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the great offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is your online sportsbook experts, and the promo code you use to get on these free offers is a promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON.
Real quickly, before we go to the roster cutdown, just a good discussion here to start off the show about the COVID-19 situation with the Colts, because as we're seeing right now, it's going to be a hot topic for this team unless something changes here soon, and it doesn't seem like it's going to. Zach Kiefer mentioned he's a few quotes here on the podcast that you recorded with Stephen Holder on the vaccination rate. It's going to go down. I got them from someone who knows. By my account, half the starting offense is unvaccinated, end quote. And another interesting one about the leadership on this team that Kiefer mentioned in his podcast with Stephen Holder. He said, quote, "These leaders of this team who are not vaccinated, I don't get the sense they're changing their mind anytime soon. They are dug in on their positions." So it's going to be really interesting, Stephen, because it seems like at this point it's going to be a year-long thing with the COVID-19 situation with this Colts team. And it could be an unfortunate situation because they could forfeit a game. They could lose multiple starters due to this situation. So definitely something to watch out for there. I want to start the show with this because it is a hot topic amongst Colts fans, amongst Colts writers right now. But let's go ahead and dive in to the 53-man roster, Stephen. What was your overall takeaways from this? Because we'll go down position by position real quick, but was there any real surprises to you?
Not really. The only real surprise I had was Andrew Brown being cut, but that's not really a surprise. The kind of coincidence of them, I don't want to say lucky because it's never lucky that guys are in close contact with somebody with COVID, but the happenstance that they had three guys on Monday that they got placed on the COVID list, with Carson Wentz and Ryan Kelly and Zach Pascal, those guys don't count against the roster. So it made Chris Ballard's decision a lot easier because he had effectively four extra roster spots to be able to fill guys in that are bubble guys that you didn't want to risk putting on waivers. And with the, because there are certain guys, like for example, T.Y. Hilton is going to go on IR. Danny Pinter could go on IR. Sam Ehlinger is going on IR. Tyquan Lewis could go. You've got several guys. Desmond Patman could go. Several guys that could go on IR for at least a short term. Because remember, we were in the COVID rules from last year where the IR, you can bring anybody back and they only have to stay out 3 weeks. And so Chris Ballard was going to be put in a really tough spot because like you can't cut T.Y. Hilton, but you know he's going to IR. So you were going to have to cut either Desmond Patman or Mike Strawn there at the wide receiver position. But because he had those four open roster spots, he's able to carry those guys through and he's going to be able to put them on IR, put T.Y. Hilton on IR and be able to open up that roster spot for when Zach Pascal comes back from the COVID list. So there wasn't a huge amount of surprises. The seven wide receivers, if this were any normal year, that would be a surprise to me. The 11 defensive linemen, that would be a surprise to me in any kind of normal year. But with those four extra roster spots, because of those four players being on the COVID list, I wasn't surprised by anybody that was cut because I don't think anybody that really was like really super deserving of a roster spot got unexpectedly cut.
Let's go on the offense here, then we'll go to the defense here, Steven. At quarterback, Carson Wentz, Jacob Eason, Sam Ehlinger, they're carrying three quarterbacks. I imagine Brett Hundley, who was cut today, is going to be on their practice squad as a veteran COVID sort of emergency guy when need be. And then Ehlinger, I imagine, will be on the short-term IR due to his knee injury suffered against the Detroit Lions in the preseason finale. Running back, no surprises here. Jonathan Taylor, Nyheim Hines, Marlon Mack, Jordan Wilkins for the quartet there. Wide receiver, they are carrying seven currently at the moment. T.Y. Hilton, who I imagine will be going on short-term IR as well. Zach Kiefer also mentioned, and that Stephen Holder on their podcast, that the timeline for Hilton could be upwards of October or even November. So this could be a long-term thing with T.Y. Hilton. They're dealing with this disc issue. So it'd be T.Y. Hilton, Michael Pittman Jr., Paris Campbell, Zach Pascal, Michael Strawn, Desmond Patman, and Ashton Doolin. And then tight end, you have Jack Doyle, Molly Cox, Kylan Granson for the three. And in offensive line, you have currently 10. Eric Fisher, Quentin Nelson, Ryan Kelly, Mark Lewinsky, Braden Smith, Julian Davenport, Matt Pryor, who the Colts acquired today via trade with a sixth-round pick and a seventh-round swap with the Eagles sending back a seventh with Pryor, Danny Pinter, Chris Reed, and Will Fries. What's your thoughts on that offense, Steven? I imagine there might be some changes on that list here. Soon we know they're working out Roderick Johnson, the former Texas offensive tackle. Maybe Will Fries' spot is in jeopardy at that point if they do sign Roderick Johnson. But it seems like to me it's a pretty strong roster, even if T.Y. Hilton does start on injury reserve and if he is out up until November, like Kiefer Holder did say to them.
Yeah, I one of the things that stands out to me is that Eric Fisher wasn't put on PUP list to start the season. So that means he's going to be able to be back here sooner rather than later. And so that was something that I think is notable, because the left tackle position has been kind of the Achilles heel of the offense outside of, like, obviously not getting a chance to see what Carson Wentz can do there at quarterback in any kind of live game action. But outside of that, left tackle has been the Achilles heel. And so that's no pun intended, given that Eric Fisher is coming back from an Achilles injury. But him not being on PUP to start the season, I think, is notable, because that means the Colts think he's going to be back. I think the Colts will also look to possibly add another tight end to the roster. Maybe the only surprise cut that I had out of this group was Deion Jackson, the running back. I thought that he might be a guy that makes this roster over a potential Jordan Wilkins. I thought Jordan Wilkins might be a trade option. But yeah, I expect to see, you know, like you mentioned, T.Y. Hilton's going to go on IR. That's for sure. Desmond Patman, I think, probably could go on IR based on things that I've heard about his injury. Sam Ehlinger will go on IR. So you've got that. I think you're right with Brett Hundley being kept as a stash in the practice squad. And he's probably going to be kept totally away from the quarterback room, because you've got Carson Wentz, who is unvaccinated, and then you've got Jacob Eason, who is vaccinated. But if Jacob Eason, you know, catches it, then he's out for, I think it's like 10 days. And then Carson Wentz is close contact for sure, because they're in the quarterback room. So you're going to have to kind of figure it out right there with the quarterback position. But outside of that, like, none of this really surprised me. I think that they will bring in a tight end, and that's going to be the one position that I think they'll probably add somebody. And I think you're going to see a couple wide receivers get put on IR, as long with Sam Ehlinger and even potentially Danny Pinter.
Does this sound familiar? You got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you got your neighbor's best friend log in for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings you live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion, and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com, and that's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. They have 9 delicious flavors, plus the occasional limited time flavor as well. When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their favorites. There's some from everyone over on Built Bar. Most of the flavors have 17 grams of protein, all within 130 calories, and only 4 grams of sugar. It tides you throughout the day with a great tasting snack. Order today and get whatever flavors you like at BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, L-O-C-K-E-D-1-5, and get 15% off your first order at Built Bars. Again, it's promo code LOCKED15, L-O-C-K-E-D-1-5, for 15% off at BuiltBar.com.
Yeah, Kahale Waring, the Colts did claim him from New England, formerly a third-round pick from the Texans. I imagine he might be on the practice squad if he does clear waivers. Maybe a guy to watch out for there as far as protection on the practice squad goes. They obviously liked him. They claimed him twice this offseason before they got him. So something to watch out for there with Kahale Waring. But let's go to defense here, going through the entire list here. A lot of guys on the defensive line, 11 total. Probably will change before the regular season begins with these guys going on IR and stuff. But here's the whole defense here. Kwity Paye, DeForest Buckner, Grover Stewart, Tyquan Lewis, Kamoko Ture, Ben Banigou, Isaac Rochelle, Al-Kadeem Muhammad, Taylor Stallworth, Chris Williams, and Antoine Woods on the defensive line. Linebackers, there's 5 total. Darius Leonard, Bobby Okereke, Zaire Franklin, EJ Speed, Matthew Adams, and Jordan Glasgow. Cornerbacks, you have 6. Xavier Rhodes, Kenny Moore, Rocky Sin, TJ Carey, Isaiah Rogers, and Marvell Tell. And in safeties, you have 4 total. Julian Blackman, Kari Willis, George Odom, and Andre Chachere, who beat out both Deshaun Davises for the final safety spot. What's your thoughts on that defense, Steven? Because there's a lot of guys in defensive line, 11 total there. I think the big surprise was them not keeping 5 safeties instead of 4. Sean Davis, the 5th-round pick, was cut. Chachere beat him out. And you had Marvell Tell, I think, barely sneaking on the roster there as your 6th cornerback. So what's your thoughts on this defense, Steven?
I mean, I love the depth of the defensive line position. I think it's – I've said this before, is with the new additions with Kwity Paye, the defensive tackle is arguably the deepest position on the Colts roster with how good they are up front. Yeah, I'm really excited about what they have on the defense. There's not like a huge surprise anywhere on this. Maybe the Sean Davis cut with the draft pick, because Chris Ballard has always kind of, you know, really kind of played to his draft picks. I think he's a guy that they'll try to sneak onto the practice squad when all is said and done. I wouldn't be surprised to see them look to the free agent wire or the waiver wire to add another corner. It's just a gut feeling that I have about the corner situation. I think they're going to add somebody else because they probably aren't as comfortable. A guy like Jimmy Moreland, who just got cut. He's a guy that I think or just got waived. I should use the right terms. But I think he might be somebody that could be an option for the Colts there on the waiver wire. But outside of that, you know, just – Not a bunch of surprises. The only surprise maybe was that they kept Alkony Muhammad, Isaac Rochelle, Chris Williams, and Antoine Woods over Andrew Brown. But that was, you're looking at like literally the bottom of the roster they're churning. Like that's to say that you're like 53rd guy is the surprise cut is something to tell you about how well Chris Ballard has done at building this roster. And I mean that it's a pretty solid group no matter what.
Yeah, and looking over the defense too, currently there's no issues with COVID-19. There's no injuries really to speak of on the defense as well. So I imagine nothing changes here along the defense. So you have a lot of guys in the defensive line, 11 total. I can't imagine the last time the Colts had 11 defensive linemen. And the usual five guys we talked about in the defensive back room, really pretty much the same. What's your thoughts, though, before we go on to just closing thoughts here on the roster? With Andre Chachere, the undrafted free agent from San Jose State from the 2018 draft, beating out the veteran Sean Davis and the fifth-round pick Sean Davis from Florida, who's actually the highest pick that's been cut by the Colts since Zach Banner. First draft in 2017, fourth-round pick. Good. I mean, awesome for Chachere. He provides great versatility. He outperformed both those guys throughout camp and preseason. I think that's probably the best success story off this list is Chachere, and then also Chris Williams, the defensive lineman, I think, was from a D3 school from, the 2019 class of undrafted free agents, and he's really worked his way onto a final roster spot too. So two guys really preseason standouts in Williams and Chachere, beating out some legit competition there.
Yeah, Chachere, I love the story. I think it goes to what Ballard's kind of preached this entire time, is that if you earn the job, you get the job. And so he's not going to sit there, and this is one of the reasons why I was – for Ballard cutting Zach Banner before, because Banner just quite honestly wasn't ready at that point. Now he's played in the league since then, which is great for him. But it's like Sean Davis, like he's not going to sit there and kowtow to his draft picks like a certain former GM did and give them the benefit of the doubt and make sure that those guys play no matter what. He really is a meritocracy where like if you earned it, you get it. And Chachere earned this spot. And so I'm really excited for him and his family to be able to get this spot and make it through the initial cuts. My hope is that he's still around. I hope that he makes it through to the week one roster. I think that would be great.
No surprise, we don't have to cover anything on this, but specialist is the usual three, Rodrigo Blankenship, Rigoberto Sanchez, Luke Rhodes as your specialist there. But really the big takeaway for me, just based off all these guys that got cut off this list, man, this Colts practice squad, Steven, is going to be loaded. I mean, there's a lot of guys here that might be getting claimed elsewhere. If not, the Colts are going to be in a position where they have potentially one of the strongest practice squads in the NFL. There's a lot of legit NFL talent that's going to be on that practice squad.
Oh, absolutely. Like, honestly, when you run through the – you could have kept, Andrew Brown, Tarik Black, Cam Klein, Sean Davis, Jake Eldenkamp, Michael Harris, Deion Jackson – Isaiah Kafusi, Benny LeMay, Carter O'Donnell, Tyler Vaughns, even Cahill Waring. Like, I think I just named, like, basically what could be their entire practice squad, adding Brett Hundley in there. And, like, all those guys could have made this roster, and I would have been like, yeah, all right, I get it. Versus, like, in years past where you're like, ooh, man, I don't know what they're going to do. These guys, the back end of the roster is, really light. But this year, the roster, honestly, this is one of the deepest rosters I've ever seen for the Colts. And that's not just, singing the praises of Chris Ballard. I legitimately believe this is one of the deepest rosters we've had for the Colts in a long, long time. Like Peyton Manning days time. Like it's been a decade since we've had a roster like this. Decade plus probably. And I'm really excited for it going forward. I think that the practice squad is going to be really solid as well. I know the practice squad, I believe, has expanded to 16 players. So they're going to be able to keep a lot of these guys as long as they don't get claimed. But honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if like half these guys don't get claimed or half these guys get claimed. I wouldn't be surprised if half these guys get claimed because there really are talented guys. And there's a lot of teams out there that are not talented and will need to make those decisions. So I think that I would love for the Colts to be able to keep all these guys on the practice squad. I don't think it's going to be able going to happen because these guys are going to get claimed. But yeah, it's one of the deepest rosters I've seen in a long time for the Colts.
You get to pick one position, Steven, off this list. We just ran through the entire 53 plus a couple guys because the COVID restrictions are going on right now. What's the biggest question mark to you as far as position goes? Because I feel like defensive line, they have a lot of guys there, offensive line. That's how Chris Bauer wants it in the trenches. You build it that way. Defensive back, I think, is pretty strong. Linebacker is obviously pretty strong. Just tying it all back together, I feel like the only thing that could hold this Colts team back from being a really deep squad, a potentially double-digit win squad this year, Steven, is COVID-19, just with what's going on with the vaccination statuses. I think that's really the only thing that holds them back. This is a legit roster. He just went down the whole entire list there, 1 through 53, where there's legit NFL talent on this roster, and it'd be a shame if anything happened to derail that because this team looks like, on paper, a super special squad.
Yeah, I mean, maybe the weakest position right now that you're questioning the most is quarterback. And Carson Wentz has looked fantastic, but quite honestly, it's the COVID situation. If he's around somebody that tests positive, he's out for 5 days. And so, you know, you look at the other positions, you know, I'll be interested to see how the wide receivers pan out without T.Y. Hilton at the top. I think Michael Pittman has a chance to really step into that role. And Mike Strawn's going to have a tremendous opportunity right here, especially if both T.Y. and Desmond Patman are potential guys that go on to IR. He's going to get snaps. You know, he's going to get those wide receiver four, possibly wide receiver three snaps over Ashton Doolin. Outside of that, like, yeah, the total roster itself, I don't see any, like, just in years past, we've been able to point out glaring holes on the roster. Like, for example, like last year, defensive end was one where we really questioned it. Along with when you're wide receiver, they had a lot of decent wide receivers, but no, like, great wide receivers. But defensive end last year was a question mark. Now that's not a question mark at all, I don't think. With the emergence of Kwity Paye and Ben Banigu and Kamoko Touré, I think those guys have all played really well in the preseason. I hope they can translate that to the games. But yeah, it's quarterback. That's the position that might be the weakest one. And that's saying something because Carson Wentz really has MVP caliber play in him. And if he just does what Frank Reich and the Colts ask of him, I think he can return to that.
Steven, anything else you want to cover as far as today's show goes? We're in the whole gamut there as far as the roster goes, but now it's officially time after roster cutdowns. We'll be back throughout this week and next week, and we're only about 2 weeks away, Steven, from the season opener. So, I mean, we're right around the corner from Colts football officially counting in the record book. So, any closing thoughts here?
I'm just excited for the season to start. I wish we weren't talking about COVID and protocols and things like that because it's frustrating, I think, for everybody. But ultimately, I'm really excited for the season to start and to see what the Colts can put on the field against Seattle and then Los Angeles. But yeah, I'm really, like I said, I keep saying it, but I'm really excited for this roster. I'm really excited for this team, and I'm hopeful for what they can do this season. So I think they've got a tremendous opportunity with the players that they have. And as long as Pat McAfee says, Uncle COVID doesn't come along, then I think this team has a legitimate shot to compete for the AFC South, make the playoffs, get a home game, and potentially, you know, represent the AFC in the Super Bowl.
Steven, as always, enjoy having you on, man. Colts fans, go ahead and follow him on Twitter if you're not already, at Nice Read. Steven, go listen to his podcast as well, over on Stampede Blue. We do great work over there on Stampede Blue. We put out great content each day. Steven, appreciate the time, man, and hope you have a good rest of your night.
Thanks, Evan. Have a great one.